Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're listening, wherever you're listening. My name is Tanura, and welcome back to another episode of the Students Era Podcast. Now, over the past, the different students that I have brought on onto our show have usually been, very specific with or unique in terms of what has been a key factor about them that's defined their university life. Now, I'm about to introduce you to a man that doesn't have one, but too many things that define his university life. In my opinion, he's the living definition of a hustler as a university student. And that person's name is Sahil Dewani. So, Sahil, thank you so much for coming on. Why don't you give us a little bit of an introduction from your end?
So thank you for the intro. It was one of the very good intros I've heard about myself. So I'm Sahil. I'm studying in Westford. I'm a finance student, second year, finishing my second year, almost going to my third year. Like you mentioned, my university life has been a lot of events, not one category, starting from speaking, entrepreneurship, business pitches, dance shows, hosting. I've been around a lot of places, even sports. So that's been my uni life. What I like the most about myself, or rather what I love about myself, is I have the tendency to keep going. I wouldn't stop at one place. Even if you call me at 4 in the night and you go like, "Sal, I have this work for you. We have this gig we gotta do," and I'll be like, "Yeah, bro, let's do it." So that's the one thing that I really like about myself.
All right. So a little bit of context to the different things that Sahil does at his university. He's a student at Westford University, by the way. Sorry if I miss out a few of these things. He is a dancer. He runs the events club at his university. He's the head of their Toastmasters club. He's the president of their Model UN Society. And yeah, have I missed anything out?
Claire, head of entrepreneurship club,
Yeah. Is there anything
vice president of the university,
Even better. And what else? What else? What else? Come on, we got enough time.
vice president of the university, student rep of dance club, student rep of the class, and that's about it.
So yeah, you can kind of understand what I mean by hustler, especially in his university. But yeah, so first things first, I'm gonna have to kick off is my first my the first thing I gotta ask you is for you. Firstly, I want to ask, were you like born and brought up in the UAE, or did you move here from, let's say, from your home country?
So if you guys have not already guessed, I'm from India. So I was born here, and we had to shift back when I was around 4 years old, and then I got back here when I was 14, 15 roughly.
Oh, so you're kind of like a semi-international student because you came back after quite a bit of a gap. 10 years is quite a big gap as well. So yeah, so one thing I want to ask, so my first thing I want to ask is university life. Obviously, you considering you're about to end your second year, I'm pretty sure you've had at least 1 year during the semi-COVID crisis, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
No, not really, but we had
Really?
1 or 2 months rather, but not the whole thing, no.
Oh, so you managed to evade the whole crisis of COVID.
Yeah, I was at the last
Nice.
one.
Nice. So one thing I want to ask you is your university life in general. Just being a student at Westford, especially from first year, like when you joined, when you didn't know anybody, it was your first time there, to how where you are right now. How would you summarize it or explain that entire journey so far?
To begin with, I joined Westford with, so I was not particularly joining Westford, rather, and I joined by mistake. Let's say it was an accident me joining Westford, because I was again confused between a couple of universities, and I was supposed to
Nice.
join university, and the other university was almost done and dusted until unless I got to know about a few exemptions about ACCA. Basically, I was doing ACCA at the time, before even joining the uni life. I wanted to do ACCA, and I was supposed to get for some exemptions, which I couldn't get in that certain university. So I came to Westford.
Life of a chartered accountant.
Yeah, so that happened, but then Westford also couldn't give me the exemption. But then I got to know once I paid the fees. So I was like, you know what? Let's just flow with the journey. I would say the first couple of months were very hard, also because of the fact that I came from a CBSE background. Now, when you come from a CBSE background to something like in a university where you're not ready to mingle with a lot of people, the teachers are not as strict, right? You are not, your life does not revolve around social and maths books all around. You got to go and do a little bit of activities down there. So first couple of months, it took me time. It took me like 2 or 3 months to settle down. And then I remember we had this dance auditions. And
Here we
that's where,
go.
yeah, and that's where I remember, like, that's when was the beginning of my journey as a student, as a rap, as a, as someone who would go out there, do all the competitions in the world possible. So that was my first gig at the dance auditions. And I remember that day I walk in with a blue jacket on, white jeans, white t-shirt, blue sneakers, and everyone's looking at me, who's this new guy?
What
Because what?
you're sounding like you're channeling your inner future right now, man.
Not really. It's the past. This is the past.
This is
I
no,
remember,
you know,
like,
the rap of future, man. The rap of future. I was talking
oh,
about the rap of
that
future.
day.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair enough.
Nah, nah, nah.
Fair enough. So I remember that day, and I that's what started my journey. I got into the dance team. Then we had few events that we did, particularly where I met you last year, Joshin.
Of course.
Yeah,
Of
exactly.
course.
So yeah, of course. So last year, Joshin was the first time I met you, and that's when my journey began. And then I always had a love for public speaking, so I joined Toastmasters Club at my university. Now, fun fact about Toastmasters is that it's a public speaking platform. Now, I was the last member to be enrolled of 2021 and 2022. Yeah, so I was the last member. So I was the latest
Really?
member. Yeah, last member to enroll under 2021, because we enroll people during November, December, and I was the last person. 2022 elections. So usually the people who are enrolled in November, December, they don't usually stand for the next elections, which happens
Yeah,
during
fair.
May. Yeah, because the journey is very 5 6 months. I was rather asked by the university to go ahead and stand for vice president position in that 4 months of
Okay,
journey.
I see. Okay, I
That's
see.
how
I see.
I got my position for the VP there, and I didn't even stand. And they were like, "No, we want you to
Oh,
stand."
so you were like awarded the thing.
Awarded, yeah, straight
Major
up
flex,
awarded.
major flex, major flex.
So that's when I got a call from one of the head people there, from my uni, and then she was like, "Sal, I want you to stand. If you don't want to stand, do it for me." So I just couldn't say no to her.
It's like, just come on, just out of the kindness of your heart, for me, for me.
You can't say no to such a head teacher, right? And if you're getting a call directly,
I mean
right?
fair, I mean fair. That is fair. That's a fair
Yeah,
point.
so 6 months down the line, I'm already one of the major students in dance, and now I get into position of vice president. Then we had a uni elections, which is basically the student council election, student body elections, right? In this first 6 months, I've been 2 months in class, 4 months doing Toastmasters and dance. But I was like, let's stand just for the fun of it, because you have to enjoy uni, and I'm not
That's what
gonna
they all
cram.
say. That's what they all say.
And that's how I got my positions. Then I stood for the vice president on the uni, and I and a friend of mine were the only two people from first year to win vice president. So that
Nice.
was the first time.
Congratulations.
Yes, so that was the first time in Westward two first year students were the vice president of the university. Then that's how I got my vice president of the university. Moving forward, I got so this is almost coming to an end of the very first year. That's how I enjoyed my first year around these events. And when I started my second year, I was told that they're starting a club called as Entrepreneurship Club. Now, being a Sindhi already, entrepreneurship runs in my blood, right? I'm an Asian, I'm a Sindhi, I love talking.
Oh no.
I love talking,
Here
and
we go. Here we go.
I love talking, and business is what I can only think of, right? Hold along, putting out ideas. So my second year basically was a full-fledged year of competitions, where if I read down my schedule, it starts with all the way from last October till this July. I've been part of 27 comp yeah
Just
last
competitions.
October, pure competitions, just
Damn,
competitions.
fair enough.
So from last October to this July, we've been part of around 28 events.
So you're like, that's obviously you alone, right? Like, obviously you probably, depending, regardless of what type of competition it was, you alone have been in 20 different competitions.
28 different events, just external, not
That's
including
across
Western.
like what? Since October. So that's across nine, that's almost three competitions per month.
Per month, that is all external. Not even
Whoa.
counting internal competitions. No, this
If
is
we
all just
okay, what if we counted internal competitions?
the number goes beyond 50.
Okay, let's just keep it without the comment. Oh my goodness gracious me.
So every week was just me starting competitions, ending,
I need to
during,
ask. I must ask, where did the academics go? You're a university student, bro.
Yeah, so I am also 8 distinctions out of 10 assignments.
Okay, wow.
Yeah,
So,
other 2 assignments have yet to submit.
okay,
So,
fair enough. Wow. Eight distinctions.
yes. So
Nice.
that went really well. And also, there I would really like to, thank my teachers and the people around me, because they made stuff a lot easier for me to understand. When I had doubts, they cleared it in, really professional manner, rather than just cribbing about the fact that I've missed classes, because they understood what I was trying to do, even as a student, right? So that happened. Second year was filled with competition, and that's about it. That was like the first 2 years. In between, I was also working as an intern with my college, so that was another great thing.
So you mean you were interning at Westford itself, like part of the
Interning.
student internship program?
Yeah, so internship program. I was
Nice.
an intern there.
Which department, if you don't mind me asking?
Business department.
Of
Business
course.
development department, of
Of
course,
course,
yeah.
of course. The entrepreneurship, everything's at Inclact, of course. All right. So I think you basically, no offense, but I think you just covered the entire basis of this episode. Like, come on, man. But no, of course not. There's always something else to go into. So
Yeah.
obviously that's how your student experience has gone so far. If I'm not mistaken, you got another year left, or is it 2 years?
No, another year.
Another year. So finally it's gonna end in 2024, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Very ready for you.
All right. So another thing I want to ask you is, obviously, this is more of a top thing that I've noticed, especially with first year students joining. Obviously, I like to say that you are one of the more different situations where a first year student, you're just going active into a lot of things like off the get go. Like, let's be realistic. If you're a
Yeah.
first year in university, you should just take advantage of all the student activity things that's gonna be there, man. Like, that's your
Yeah.
best bet because it's gonna be your freest year. But then obviously,
Yeah.
there are always those students that they're very talented, but they just don't get into it. They're like, oh, university, the pressure, the stress. And we do not, we are saying that obviously university academics must come first. You are there to secure something for your life, which is mainstream. But what do you think about, like, when you see students, especially first year students, now that you're going into being a senior, what do you think and say to, like, when you see first year students that are, like, sitting down or they're not taking advantage because maybe they're scared, maybe they feel shy about the whole stigma around university?
Great question, Tanara, because this is what we are noticing in our college too currently, is that even when because I'm a student leader, a lot of teachers have come and spoken to me about the fact that they're seeing those two or three faces in almost all competitions or almost all the major activities
Exactly.
that the university is running. Why is there not a first years being implemented? Because when I joined the university, or once the group around me, my friends have joined the university, we were very active. When I spoke to a few of my juniors who were like really close friend of mine from school, or I just got to know them,
You just
right?
got to know them, yeah.
The part where I feel like these people lack is just the push. Because not everyone's like you and I, then I'm pretty sure you must have had the similar journey. Not two different journeys, because I see your schedule too. You are as busy man as any man gets.
We'll not talk about that now. We're focused on you.
Yeah, so I feel a little bit push for these people is required a lot. And rather than the teachers doing it, if as a student you could push these people, you could potentially see a lot of faces coming up. And not necessarily the pushes be like, you know what, I'm just gonna be like, I'm gonna text you to participate in this, or I'm just gonna. Rather, if you're participating in something, make sure you take them in your team, guide them along the way. So when they are in the second years, on they're in the third years, they have that motivation. And giving motivation is also like, very tough to a lot of people, right? How do you
Yeah.
motivate people, right? It's not very easy, because a lot of people, the way I get motivated is not the same way you'll get motivated, right? So there's a different
Never.
technique to motivating them as well. But yeah, a lot of stigma around first years coming up and being like, oh no, I cannot do this, I cannot do that. So I
Definitely.
would That's what we do. That's what I've started doing, taking my juniors along with me in my every competition possible right
That,
now.
so it's kind of like acting like a student mentor in a way, right? It's like being a student
Yeah.
mentor in a sense.
Yeah, and you have to. Otherwise the change would not be very easy to come.
Yeah, I think something that a lot of people like before they join uni, what they don't realize is that it is a there is a lot of, I'm not sure this is the right word or not, but there's a lot of control given to students to a lot of things, you know? Like it's not like back in high school where you have to ask permission for every single thing. Like, okay, yes, there is responsibility, there is limitations put on you, but then things like clubs, societies, all those manners, it's not just, you know, a department or the professors having it. It's even us. Like even we have an amazing amount to say. Like I'm pretty sure that you are. I'm not sure. I don't know. I do. I'm not sure from your end. At least from my end, this was the case. But I was shocked to find out, you know, the level of input students have, especially from, you know, this side of the university life, which is the social life. I don't know about you, but that's kind of like what I found.
No, yes, they do. I also feel being in Westford, it's a little bit less than compared to other universities, but still a student leaders. And that's, I think, so the major difference between school to uni life here. Yeah? School was basically surrounded by the teachers, where teachers take the lead. University is known by the students, right? So if Tanura is doing something, Middlesex name almost gets joined with, hey, do you know Tanura? We'll probably like, yeah, from Middlesex. Hey, do you know Sam? Probably from like Westford.
West
So that
Ferret.
happens a lot. Yeah. That happens a lot. So I feel a little bit of from for all the first years coming in, or if you're joining uni, you need to let loose a little bit. Make sure you're making friends with the right group of people, even if you're making friends with the seniors or your group. Make sure the people are very right that motivate you to do something right in the future. Because you know uni life in Dubai comes with a lot of
There's
other
a
things
lot of
too.
challenges and a lot of tackles, yeah, which is actually something else I wanted to talk to you about, which is obviously finding the right group. Now, you obviously being, you know, so heavily involved in a lot of things at Westford University, I'm pretty sure you've come across a variety of different backgrounds, ethnicities, characteristics, characters for that particular, as the term that some people like to use. And obviously, I like to think that if you are part of one thing of the student life in your university, you're part of the entire thing because you're part of the family. But at the same time, you do have those instances where not every side of the coin can merge, you know? Like you obviously being part of, let's say if you're part of dance events and let's say for a sports team like athletics, for example, some people might be an athlete and a dancer, some people might be a dancer and an events, not some people might not be all three. So obviously then you have to also try to find a way to manage those three different, you know, sides of the whole make of the whole queue. So something I want to ask you is that being a person that's heavily involved in a lot of things, and obviously I'm pretty sure you've also tackled the part of not everyone you know being in every single thing that you're in. How has it been trying to kind of manage that social life aspect towards your university life?
An interesting question, because I feel since then I've started university, people say once you go into uni, your social life increases a lot. Mine has just gone down the road because I don't have time to hang that out that
Not the answer I was expecting.
much. Yeah, I've been like, I don't think so. I remember. So, okay, if social life, as in going to events and you know, being out, has increased a lot, yes. But going out just for the sake of having fun, yeah, it's gone down a lot. So, but I still do
That's
understand.
un
Yeah.
but I'm pretty sure you kind of like get where I'm coming from, right? In terms of
Yeah.
like even if it's going. Like, let's be realistic. Let's not even take the context of going out, you know, doing something fun. Like, if it's like going to like a theme park or something, let's even take it as going to a club meeting or to a training session, because even that in itself is in its way going out and having fun. Like, yes, you guys are there for a purpose, but you
Yeah.
guys also do something that, you know, it's a very relaxed environment. So even in that aspect, how have you tried to like manage or deal with the different, what do you call it? Expectations across the board, because let's be very realistic. The expectations that it's going to be put to you being the head of your dance team is certainly going to be different from being the vice president of the university, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. So you need first things I would like to say is, every role that I play in university or in general requires a lot of different skills, right? One thing though common is the leadership skill. So what I try to do whenever I'm leading a team, or whenever I'm heading something, I try to stay that same style that I'm across the university on a normal day. I don't have to put across a different Sahil or a different kind of person around anyone or anything, right? Yes, I do understand where you ask me to how do I manage to rather take the stress of being in the dance team and then have the stress to be on the entrepreneur team as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just I'm not gonna lie, it gets really overwhelming at times. But the best thing you could do is pat yourself in the back, tell yourself that you signed up for this, you're supposed to do a good job, and every job you complete, you have a fruit at the end of the day. And that fruit is all going to be worth it. That's how I calm myself down. That's how I mold myself into different position. Because hey, when I'm going out of the university, when I apply for jobs, when I go and seek jobs and go for higher positions, I just don't want to remember my uni life for something that I've for something like I submitted assignments all the time. I want to remember my uni life for a lot of things, right? Hey, I participated in that
Exactly.
competition. I made lots of friends across universities during these competitions or during these events. So that's a good part, right? So
Exactly.
if it gets overwhelming there, I'm probably compensating with all the fun that I'm having. And I always, whenever it gets overwhelming, I'll probably shut my laptop, shut my phone, pat myself in the back, and tell, it is overwhelming, but you gotta go get through this.
All right. Yeah, that's an amazing way to put it, and it kind of lines up to my next question, which is something I've continuously talked about with these on the podcast, and that's mental health. Now, obviously, we all, I'm pretty sure after having been in university for a while now, we all know what the stigma of mental health is, especially from what we see online to what we see on shows and movies to actually living through it. So, and especially in my, and I feel, and I obviously correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I do have a feeling that you probably deal with a lot more, you know, with your mental health compared to the average university student, with everything that's been put on you when it comes to the academics, the work, the coordinating. So, what for you has been something that, for you, specifically to you, that is, what has something been to you that's helped you, you know, maintain a very good mindset and mental health throughout, you know, all the things that have been put on you and that you've taken up over the last few years at university?
Well, yes, I agree to the fact that when once you're put into a lot of responsibilities, your mental health does take a toll. And I was not a believer of that until I started my second year. I was
Fair,
like,
you and me both, you and me both, you and me both, you and me both.
yeah, I did not believe it in one bit. As soon as the second year started, and when you hit that age of 19, I feel 18, 19, that's where reality checks come right on your faces, right? Like every second or every day that passes by, you're 18, 19,
Something.
you have responsibility not just in from the uni, but also from your parents, right? So
Definitely.
that plays a huge role as well. What I try to do is rather, you know, take it easy, right? Because there's nothing more I can do to calm myself down than telling myself, you will get through this. A. B, what a lot of times I do is I go off Instagram, like completely. I'll disappear for a couple of days and I just don't want to interact with anyone socially, right? I don't want to see anyone's stories. I don't want to know
Just a
what's
complete
happening.
cut off. Just a complete cut off.
Complete cut off. Complete cut off. Once a month, I'm pretty sure I do that for around 2 to 3 days. I'll be back, but 2 to 3 days, I'll give it to myself. In that 2 to 3 days,
Yes.
it's even if I'm working on a laptop, I'll work with a lot of peace because I feel social media has a direct impact on your mental health. Direct. Right, the more people you
Definitely.
see or talk to on social media or watch their story, also you get a lot of things in your mind, and those things just repeat in your mind, in your subconscious mind. You're not
Yeah,
even
just
putting it,
not even thinking, it just happens, you know, just out of
it's
reflex.
happened. Yes, right. So I don't want that pressure during when I'm having my off days.
Of
I read a
course.
book. I go off and I read a book, and whenever I read something, I'm a very big nerd of autobiographies, if that makes sense. So I want to
Yeah, of
leave
course.
what other people's experiences were, because everyone goes through this phase in life, specifically when you're entering your adulthood, just 21, 22, that age. So I
Of
feel
course.
a lot of people go through the same kind of challenges. So I tend to learn a lot from that. That helps me a lot. Third, whichever competition, okay, this might be really cocky and come across wrong, but I'm just gonna say it.
Oh God, here we go. I'll have
Whichever
the,
competition.
oh sorry, before you say that, I'm just gonna say I'll have the comment section decide your faith on this one.
Okay, so whichever competition I take part in, whichever whatever I'm doing, I do it just to win it.
Ah, there we go. Yeah, guys, go for it. Everyone that's listening to this episode, please go for the comments.
Yes. I cannot process losing, and I'm a very sore loser, right? So whenever I don't win, which does not happen that often, touch wood, which does not happen that often, touch wood, I just go into a mode that I'm not gonna do anything from now. I'm a very sore loser. That is one quality that I would really like to change, because I don't understand what losing actually teaches you, right? I am not a believer.
Wow.
I'm not a believer of the fact losing teaches you more. Yes, it teaches you a lot how to become better in next competition. But even when you win, that is the same mentality that everyone runs through. This time I did an 8 on 10. It's a good score. 8 on 10, every day is a good score. How to go on 9 on 10, even when you got 8 on 10. So yeah, that thing. So if you're participating in something, guys, make sure you're winning it. That will automatically decrease your mental health. Like, it will just make you happy. That moment of going collecting the trophy or the check or whatever the winning thing is, that
Or the
5 minutes.
check. Wow, fair play, sir. Fair play.
Yeah, so that.
I listen, I'll be frank. Like, obviously that is something that a lot of people don't really, I'd like to say this as well. Like, a lot of people don't take into consideration, like, whenever I used to go for competitions, or if I went for matches and stuff, our whoever it is, if it's our trainer, if it's our coordinator, they'd always say, like, try to win, but if you lose, don't worry. It's a learning experience, right? But I feel like people don't really understand, like, the fruitfulness of learning something from a victory,
Yes.
because in my opinion, right, as much I do agree, I don't agree with your thing entirely, right? Like, I do believe that the learning process from losing is fruitful as well, but I also like to think that, and I think a lot of people nowadays are starting to realize this as well, is that from a loss, you realize sometimes there's no such definition as the best, but only better.
Yeah, I agree to that completely, because it's not like I win
Yeah.
everything. I
Precisely.
win most
It's
of it,
like,
but not everything.
of course. But no, like, I feel like instead of striving to be, the like something I actually learned this from a first year at from Harriet. I made a friend from Harriet. I met this person like 2 months ago during a conference, and he actually brought to me and he told me, like, and I can't believe I learned this as well. He was like, instead of trying to be the best, focus to be better, because if you choose to be the best and you do manage to be the best, it takes one thing you need from someone trying to be better for you to get knocked off. So always
Beautiful.
strive to be better. So when I heard that, I was like, wow, that's like something I didn't even think of decide to process. So.
Yeah. So even when you're winning something, you can be better than winning that, right? It does not stop at one trophy or one competition or one event. So I always say, A, aim for the highest thing possible. Just aim for that. That should create a mindset, right? I was in a competition yesterday, in my college, and there were 11 teams, 10 teams competing. And when the competition started, everyone was like, you know what, Sal, you're just gonna win, you're just gonna win, you're just gonna win. And I got
Everyone's
that,
just already everyone's already just given up. Like, this is
yeah,
like it's like the
participate.
Oscars. We know who's winning. Like, is there any point? Is there any point?
Why do so? Your perception of me is that I'm gonna win, so you don't even give you 100%, right?
Yes, I think I know where you're going with this, and yes, I fully agree with what you're about to say.
Yes, so your perception about me is that I'm going to win, you're not going to give me 100%. So I don't want to have that mindset. I want to say I am the bloody best, I can be best, and I can be better than the best too. Go with that mindset. That mindset changes a lot of things.
Yeah, honestly, there's no other way to put it. Like, I will say, like, honestly, if you're the type of person, like, okay, I'll be frank. Like, sometimes you do, in my opinion, there are sometimes, competitions that people attend, and then you see someone specific or a group of people that's attending, right? That, in my opinion, I don't feel like everyone is a guaranteed winner. In my opinion, I feel like people definitely have more experience that has them at a complete advantage to win in something. But that doesn't still mean that you can, like, you should back down from something. In my opinion, it's like, it takes, like, you can be one of the greatest, let's say you could be the greatest team of all time. Let's take any sport for that example, right? You could be the most perfectly built team. You can have the most perfect setups, but then it takes one slip up for that entire thing to just fail. So it's, as a person, like, for example, when I was starting off, especially during my debate, during debates and stuff, when I was starting off, I remember that my teacher back then, he always mentioned that always wait for the right opportunity, because once that opportunity comes in, that's it. That's all you need to do. That works for everybody. And yeah. So.
And completely agreed with what you were saying, because I think so that's how you and I made friends, because we all had the same competitive spirit whenever we met.
I mean that and also because I also learned it both ways. I learned, like, I'll be frank. I'm not just from my end. I know a lot of people that are very strong in their field of competition, whether it's sports, whether it's academia, and they've also told me from their experience as well, like when they were starting off, they took the opportunity to slip and they were able to be, victorious in their competition. But then when they started to become the benchmark, they slipped up and it happened. They understood it both ways. So it's also when it's kind of learning experience for both sides as well. So especially if
Agreed.
you're, in my opinion, this is even more beneficial for like first years, because let's be realistic. Imagine being a first year and then you're considered like the coordinator or the benchmark for a specific competition. And then you and the first year end up two sides of the coin. You guys are on opposite sides. And then they slip, and then you as a person step up and then they come in, like, bro, that's the
Yes,
perfect
and that's
way.
gonna boost your confidence. Winning always boosts your confidence, and that
Definitely.
confidence is something that you can only gain by when you start winning, when you're putting, even I don't say winning rather, I think so I'm a little bit wrong here, but you have that mindset of a winner rather.
Yeah. I'm just gonna say this. I'm just gonna hope that the comment section and everyone listening doesn't go completely roasting on us for talking about the winner mindset over here. Let's keep it hopeful, guys. But yeah. But with that being said, looking at the time, that is all the time we have for this episode. But before we end, I do have to ask one final question to you, Sahil, and that is, first things first, are you a football fan?
I'm a cricket fan.
I'll take it. I just wanted to ask the football thing just to annoy one specific person, but we're gonna focus on cricket. What team do you support in, let's say, the IPL?
Chennai Super Kings.
A bit, of course. Oh man, now as a Mumbai Indians fan, I can't ask my question. All right,
It still
but
shoots. It shoots.
I'll still ask the question. So, in your opinion, in let's say this is mainly for the cricket fans, you guys, all the cricket fans listening will understand this. From pure instinct, with the current Chennai Super Kings team that is there, and every other player that's taken part in the IPL, or even players that are yet to take part in the IPL, name three players that you will drop from Chennai Super Kings and three players you'll bring in to replace them now.
Okay, so I'm gonna drop a very controversial one, but MS H, and I'm gonna replace him with Shubman Gill. We get an opening batsman. Oh no, wait! I'll drop MS, and I'm gonna replace him with Jos Buttler. That's one change. The
Okay.
second change, of course, I think so he's retired, but I would still replace Ambati Raidu, and I'm gonna bring Yashasvi Jaiswal in place of him, and I'm gonna drop Shivam Dubey. No, I'm gonna drop Mitchell Santner, because they don't play him whatsoever, rather, and I would have a fast bowler in place of him, because I feel they lack fast bowlers, so I would have my favorite bowler of all time, Jasprit Bumrah, replacing him.
You're not taking Bumrah from Mumbai. Anyways, on top of that, one, you're not taking Bumrah from Mumbai, and two, best of luck dealing with the entire backlash of you dropping Captain Cool. But yeah, with that being said, that is the end of today's episode. Sahil, thank you so much for coming on. I hope you thoroughly enjoyed being part of this episode.
Thank you
And
so much.
obviously for every definitely. So obviously everyone, make sure to check out Sahil. Head over to our Instagram. We've already posted this four interesting facts. Share with it, give him a tag, maybe drop a comment as well. And yeah, with that being said, I hope you guys enjoyed listening to this episode of the Students Era Podcast. Thank you and have a great day or great night ahead.